Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome to the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do. Help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. It's good to be back. It's been a little while. We've been away, but now the long bathroom remodel nightmare is over at the McBurney compound. And the thing is, once you remove a 400-pound cast iron bathtub, you're committed. And then the pressure builds weekend after weekend after weekend. And so we reach the tipping point. We reach critical mass. And there was no other possibility of focusing anywhere else except there. But we're back now, and we're focused on. Well, I'll just say it right off the top. I had a feeling that something really awful was going to be done to prevent the peaceful transfer of power away from the criminally insane sex cult that seized power in 2020. And it's quite possible that the dropping of the veil around their figurehead, Joe Biden, that may have been it, or may have been the first shoe to drop of that really awful thing that's coming. So there, I got that out of the way. And what makes me think that? Well, here's a headline from Gretchen Whitmer. You guys remember Gretchen Whitmer, right? The COVID hysteric who destroyed Michigan during the COVID panic. Gretchen Whitmer is quoted as saying, quote, "This election will be decided by a slim number of people in a handful of states." Uh-huh. That's true. And Gretchen should know. She's probably one of the people handpicked who will participate in that really awful thing that prevents the peaceful transfer of power away from the criminally insane gang that seized power. All right, so there we have, that's Gretchen Whitmer. Just before the remodel collapse into darkness there, I saw pictures. Vladimir Putin had visited Kim Jong-un up there in North Korea. And so there were pictures online of Joe Biden on stage with Barack Obama next to pictures of Vladimir Putin shaking hands with Kim Jong-un. And I thought to myself, I wonder who has the greater sin. Is it Putin and Un, or is it Biden Obama? Who has the greater sin? Barack Obama is the ultimate agent of chaos. Yeah. And so he and the girls who run him, Barack Obama, that is, and the girls who run him, they forced Biden to agree to a debate, knowing all they knew for sure going in was that it would expose his clinical mental incompetence. That's all they knew going in. Was that the veil would be off. And the other thing they knew for sure, so I guess that wasn't the only thing. The other thing they knew for sure, the girls running Obama, was that it would introduce panic and fear and confusion. And after that, they really have no plan and no true ability to control events. They just know that chaos generally works better for them than it does for the good guys. Chaos is better for the devil than it is for the good guys. Anyway, yeah, Joe Biden's unveiling, that may have been shoe number one. Very, very creepy, strange, weird. And to listen to self-described conservatives not just outraged, not violently outraged at the fact that it's been so obvious that this has been going on for so long How can you even comment on George Stephanopoulos interviewing the guy when he's been an accomplice in all of this? I don't know. George Stephanopoulos should be arrested for what he's done. He gets the interview. And then the so-called conservatives, they address the Stephanopoulos interview as if it was real, as if it was anything but stagecraft. It's just creepy weird, that's all. But enough of the politics. Well, I mean, I suppose this might be political, but at least this is isn't an existential threat to our survival. Out in California, back in 2014, the governor back then, Jerry Brown, who like a replay from the 70s, like a really bad sequel. 2014, Governor of California Jerry Brown banned single-use plastic bags in order to reduce the amount of plastic being thrown away by people because of all the fish it killed and just generally made people feel bad about themselves. Well, little did anyone know that when that law was passed, there was a built-in loophole added by lawmakers in Sacramento who had plastic bag factories in their districts. The exception in the plastic bag ban allowed people to pay extra for thicker, reusable plastic bags. If you didn't care about the fish you were going to kill, you could buy a thicker bag that they said you could reuse over and over and over. And every time you reused it, you could imagine you were saving the fish. And you could virtue signal by taking out your filthy bags and unfolding and shaking the old onion skins out of them in front of the poor sacker at the grocery store who now has to unfurl your filthy bags. Anyway, the whole thing is a humiliation ritual. So the loophole was built in. First of all, I didn't know there were any plastic bag factories in the state of California. I didn't know there were any plastic bag factories in the United States anymore, but apparently there were some, and they were donors to the political class there in Sacramento. And so they built in a loophole, thicker plastic bags. Well, it turns out that shoppers were willing to add another dollar or so to their grocery bill for the convenience of plastic bags. And so they just bought the thicker bags and continued to throw them away. And so now the amount of plastic bags Californians throw away has increased by approximately 50% since 2014. So while virtue signaling, the citizens of California are brutally slaughtering more and more fish. 50% more fish than they were killing back in 2014. And so naturally, lawmakers in Sacramento are considering stricter bans. That they don't want to admit that they were wrong and that it was foolish and it didn't work and that in that single-use plastic bags were never single-use. How many people use their plastic bags once? Nobody. We use them until they develop a hole in them and then we throw them away. We use them for all kinds of things. Liners in the trash can, liner. Yeah, anyway. The whole idea that it was a single-use bag, that was never true. It's not like we used it once and then took it and threw it in the ocean. Unbelievable. But they're going to try and tighten up the ban. Maybe they're going to ban the thicker bags now. And I don't know if there's someone manufacturing canvas bags somewhere in the state of California who makes donations to the political class, perhaps, that we'll all be relegated to even filthier canvas bags. All right, so there you have it. The plastic bag. And by the way, state after state after state fell in line with California's idiotic ban on plastic bags. And it's everywhere now in all the leftist pothead states. And they'll all be throwing away more plastic. So we got that going for us. And then we've got the heat. All right. So the last time I was on, I think it was the first hot day that I'd experienced in, I meant to say 6 years, but I think I said 6 months. That was pretty, it's pretty embarrassing because 6 months ago would have been December when, yeah, you wouldn't have expected. But it seems like it's been about 3 years since there was a really hot day. 6 years, maybe. I was exaggerating. It was hyperbole, anyway. But the heat dome has formed over the southwest of the United States, like it does every year, almost every year. They get the big heat bubble. It forms like right over Dallas-Fort Worth, and it just bakes everyone in Dallas, and then it just spreads out. And so that heat dome setup, it's about to be bowled through by the first hurricane of the year, which, of course, is terrifying everyone because it's so early. It's the earliest, strongest hurricane ever recorded in the history of mankind, as far as you know. And so that and then the heat dome, by the way, all this hot weather, a science alert. Science Alert is a website, a hysterical website, a hysterical leftist climate hysteric website. They issued a warning last month. Worsening human-induced climate change is contributing to these heat domes that we see. It's a high pressure system that builds up over the southwest of the United States because it's a desert. That's why. So anyway, they warn that heat-related deaths are rising as heat waves like this one that we're in right now. They occur more regularly thanks to worsening human-induced climate change. And they go on to say millions are at risk from the intense heat. So risk of what? Being hot. Millions are at risk of being hot from all this. From what? From the heat. Have you noticed the heat? It's a heat dome. It's related to human-induced climate change. I thought it was induced by summer. It's the tilting of the planet. Do you think this has anything to do with the tilting of the planet on its axis? I thought it had something to do with the weather, but they say no, it's the climate. All right. So I hope everyone is afraid. Be afraid, that's all. Be hysterical. That's what we need more of. All right, so let's see here. I don't have time to do this Declaration of Independence thing. I'll do that. Oh, the Houthis. So has anyone heard about the Houthis in the news in the past month? You really haven't, right? Since the president and the mighty U.S. military went and knocked out the Houthis' ability to disrupt shipping. And remember, we sent the missiles and we sent the special forces. We sent an aircraft carrier and spent a few billion dollars. And so the Houthis were wiped off the headlines is what they were wiped off because they've still been attacking vessels. In fact, they sunk a Greek-owned coal carrier last month, like a full-on ship. They sunk it. And they attacked it with a kamikaze drone. That's right. That's their latest tactic, these Houthis. They're Iranian terrorists is what they are. Well, what they did was they strapped a dummy onto a boat, a drone boat, basically. A radio-controlled or somehow remotely controlled boat. And they strapped dummies onto it and drove it to the ship and blew up the hole in the ship, and the ship eventually sunk. So why did they put dummies in the drone boat, in the remote control boat? Because they want to prevent Western powers in the naval forces that we've deployed there. They want to prevent us from shooting the boat before it hits their target. And by putting dummies in there, they make us think that there are men in there, and then that causes us to flinch, and that gives them just enough time to hit their target with their drone kamikaze boat. And it's an obvious war zone. It's unbelievable that we would flinch because they put dummies in the drone remote-controlled boat. It's a war. This is war. The fact that you might kill the guys on the boat that's attacking you, that should not influence your decision to fire. You start to wonder, who are the dummies here? It's the Weekly Worldview. And I'm your host, Doug McBurney, talking about national defense there, out there in the Red Sea trying to defend shipping. And that reminds me of a subtle change in language that has occurred that I only noticed recently, and I just want to ask an open question to see if anyone else has noticed. When did the concept of national security rather than national defense creep in? When did that happen? National security. Because under the banner of national security, the left is now making claims against liberties that I hold to be non-negotiable, right? The right to free speech, the right to the free exercise of religion, the right to personal bodily liberty. Those are non-negotiable to an American. I thought to all Americans. But there are a growing number of people for whom these are negotiable in return for security. So the supremacy of security over liberty has been achieved in the minds of the masses. They've agreed to trade their liberty for security right in the daylight in front of God and everybody with no shame. And if you disagree, they think you're a radical. You're some kind of crazy person. You know, the concept of social security. Social security. Well, what is that? That's a communist phrase, social security. That concept was introduced by the leftists of their day in order to create an expectation of the governmental responsibility for the citizens' security. They created that expectation in the minds of our grandparents that the government was responsible for the people's security. And what is security? Well, but it's what would you like it to be? What you want it to be? Once people are indoctrinated to believe that the government is responsible for an undefinable concept like one's security in old age, there's no limit to the liberties those people will abandon in exchange for something that actually no man, no government can provide. Security. Nobody can provide security. So maybe the mafia provides security. Anyway, when I'm not sure when all this, I guess it all started right around Genesis chapter 3, right? When the devil said, "Yea, hath God said?" Question. That's I guess it all goes back to that. But Social Security was also one of the devil's favorite moments. So now speaking of the government, we'll go to our founding myth file where we check in with Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin. This is an article I pulled down from a website called crossway.org. I believe they are some sort of a Christian-y website. They tell the story of Thomas Jefferson turning in his draft of the Declaration of Independence to Benjamin Franklin for edits, notes, comments, fix any typos type of thing. So and they say that Franklin read Jefferson's draft, which said, quote, "We hold these truths to be sacred and undeniable," unquote. Now, the Crossway article claims that Franklin crossed out sacred and undeniable and replaced it with, "We hold these truths to be self-evident." And that's the edit. And the folks at Crossway call this the most significant edit to the Declaration of Independence. They call it a parable for the post-Christian West. because the declaration also said that the people were endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. And while that may have seemed self-evident to some at the time of the writing of the declaration, that it's actually not self-evident at all throughout all of history, and especially now. The folks at Crossway indict Benjamin Franklin for having done this. They say Benjamin Franklin was incorrect in assuming that anything that flows from the Christian worldview is self-evident. It's the opposite of self-evident. It's only evident to those who hold to the Christian worldview. It's only evident to those who believe in God. And so there's no such thing as self-evidence when it comes to the right of personal liberty and the freedom of speech and the free exercise of religion and all those things. Yeah, today they say people see the word self-evident and they think it's just obvious to us. We know this. Well, but it doesn't follow. It's not self-evident. It's not obvious. Let's say you have an evolutionary worldview. You believe that at some point in the ancient past, nothing exploded and everything happened by accident. Well, then other people's rights are not self-evident anymore. Other people's rights are only self-evident if you believe that they were created by God just like you were created by God, and that you're both going to face a righteous God at some point in the future in a judgment. So that's not self-evident. And the author at Crossway says, because everyone thinks that these things are just obvious, they now think that we can have them without the Christianity part. And that's where we find ourselves now, in a civilization that thinks it can keep all the blessings that godliness and the worship of Jesus Christ have given us, all those blessings, that we can keep those and we can throw out the Christian part. And then after that, by the way, it'll be, and we can kill the Christians part. That'll be what's next. Because you can't get rid of Christianity without killing all the Christians, and they will. That, if you look at history, is fairly self-evident. So let's see. The article at Crossway says, if in 500 years, if belief in God is withered, do these things still hold? Meaning, can we still have a civilization where people respect each other's rights 500 years from now if belief in God withers? 500 years? I'm thinking, like, I'm worried about 5 years. Five more years like this? And maybe that's hyperbole, 5 years, right? Surely it all couldn't collapse and they start throwing Christians in prison and killing us within 5 years. But within 50, it's almost guaranteed. In fact, it's guaranteed, if things don't change dramatically, that within 50 years we'll be in a barbaric post-Christian psycho death, blood, violence. Yeah. It'll be Mad Max meets something uglier and worse. In fact, listen to this. From the Justice File, out in the state of California, where they're throwing away 50% more plastic than they were 10 years ago after they banned it. Well, that's the least of the problems in the state of California. Now, mad gangs of criminal thugs are targeting senior citizen apartment complexes. So in state after state across the country, if you haven't noticed over the past 10 or 15 years, there have been these massive old people warehouses that have been put up where younger people put their parents when they're tired of them. They put them in assisted living facilities, the giant complexes to house the elderly. Well, now the criminal element in California has noticed that there are these massive complexes full of virtually helpless people that they can indiscriminately rob. That's right, the seniors at the assisted living facility, they think that they should enjoy the liberty to go to the grocery store. Well, on the way to the grocery store, the thugs beat them and rob them. At one facility in the Bay Area, 13 senior citizens in less than 1 month reported being brutally attacked and robbed. And officials at the facility say the number is actually closer to 30, that some of them just don't want to go to the police because they're terrified. Sister Marie Taylor, president of the Westlake Christian Terrace Resident Council, says that it was happening every hour on the hour. An old person would try to go to the store. A young, strong male would beat them and rob them. It's shocking. And the author, Olivia Murray, reporting the story over at American Thinker, she closes the article saying, "When a nation's moral fabric breaks down, no one protects the widows, orphans, or old people. In other words, the most vulnerable populations. It is morality that keeps them safe, even more so than police. So only morality can keep old, helpless people safe. Only the police can't do it. It's not possible." And so this is a terrifying situation. Can you imagine in America being afraid to get old because the young people might beat you, rob you, and kill you in the street just for your stuff? Just for whatever you have in your purse. Can you imagine that could happen in America? It's happening in America right now. And you have to wonder, the people being robbed and beaten are the generation that allowed the most innocent and vulnerable among them to be brutally murdered. Right? They're the generation who allowed 60 million little innocent, defenseless children to be slaughtered while they went to the movies and went on vacation and went skiing and went surfing, went hiking, went shopping, while their neighbors were being brutally slaughtered. And now, the generation that allowed that, that sat by quietly and had their fun while all that bloodshed was happening, now their blood is being shed in the streets. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. We just finished the 4th of July celebrations, Independence Day, which is that it's a rhetorical statement now. It's not actual independence. It's something else. That's all. It's something else. And so over the 4th of July holiday, the Daily Caller reports that, here's the headline, 4th of July shootings leave several dead, including police officer. That's the most urinalistic headline I've ever read at the Daily Caller, and they're becoming more and more urinalistic. And then the story goes on, shootings resulted in fatalities. A shooting in Chicago claimed the lives of blah, blah, blah. So instead of hard-nosed reporting, because the fact that people are being slaughtered over the Independence Day holiday should be shocking and well, let's just say shocking at the least. But the journalism schools have taught the journalists to report the most shocking, horrific news in a very nice, gentle way so that people can digest it without having to take another Ativan or without having to ingest any more benzodiazepines. From there, let's see here. From the Crime of the Century file, WorldNet Daily reports a recent effort, a study, consisted of scrolling through Instagram Reels using an account created for a 13-year-old child. And the people participating in the study were adults, but they signed up as 13-year-olds. Many, 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 many accounts just to see what would happen when a 13-year-old signs up for Instagram. And so what happened was perverted, dirty content creators appeared in the test account's feeds in as little as 3 minutes. And if a test account chose to stop and look at any of the dirty material, the 13-year-old's test account, their feed would be dominated by dirty content in under 20 minutes. And so nobody, this is published on WorldNet Daily. The study has been published. And then some of the things that were fed to the 13-year-old, I can't read it on the air. It's too filthy and horrible what the 13-year-old saw in under a half hour on Instagram. And nobody's going to be arrested for this. Nobody's going to be pursued. So I'm not sure what the study was for. So I'm not sure what the point. The point should be that how do we stop this? This is a crime. In fact, to put dirty, filthy, immoral, perverted material in front of a young person, that's one of the worst crimes you can commit. I believe that is a death penalty crime. To do that to children, you should be put to death. Anyway, this was a study put together by the Wall Street Journal and a professor, a computer science professor. For what reason? I guess just to show us all what's going on. So now we know. So I guess it is of some value to say, don't let your kids on Instagram if you can stop that from happening. Can you stop that from happening? I'm not sure you can stop that from happening. The study's findings contradict the claims of Instagram and their parent company, Meta, who say they restrict sensitive content for users under the age of 16. So just the fact that you're allowing people, 16-year-olds, to see anything dirty, you should be arrested for that. So 16?
60.
Yeah, how about 60? All of it should be illegal. But he's admitting that he lets 16-year-olds look at it. He's admitting that publicly without any fear of criminal prosecution. It's unbelievable. Let's see. WorldNet Daily reports that the results also speak to broader issues surrounding social media's effect on teenage mental health. Well, I suppose I can appreciate that, but what about the broader issue of the legality of pornography? Well, that's the bigger issue. That stuff should not be legal. This study should prove to the folks over at WorldNet Daily and anyone else who's paying attention that we can't have this around. That's all. It can't be around because it's out of control. You can't have that. You can't have any of it. It should all be illegal, and anyone producing it should be arrested. Anyway, obviously, one of the greatest crimes of the 20th century and one of the biggest mistakes, if we want to give anyone grace in this situation. One of the biggest mistakes of all time was to legalize pornography. And we should realize the severe catastrophic implications, the severe and catastrophic implications of that mistake that our parents and our grandparents made, and we should correct that error sooner rather than later, because this doesn't get any better. it only gets worse and worse. And to the point where you will not be able to prevent this filth from getting on your kids. And even worse, that parents won't really be all that concerned with that filth getting on their kids because they're so filthy. And then civilization collapses into 1,000 years of darkness. That's all. All right. Which, speaking of that, let's go to reason number 2169 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. The Senate out in the state of California, if the governor signs the new bill approved by the Senate, school districts will be barred from requiring teachers to notify parents that their child is being molested at the school. That the child has asked to go by a new pronoun at school. Did I say had been molested? I'm sorry. I meant to say that the kid wants a new pronoun. Teachers will be banned. When they find out that other teachers have molested the kid, they're going to be banned from telling anyone about it because they're all a bunch of creeps and child molesters running the government schools in every state, not just California. The goal, say the senators and the public education institution bigwigs there, that the goal is to protect students from their parents who might not appreciate the fact that the child is being molested at the school. The parent may say something or do something untoward regarding the molestation of the child, and that's not acceptable. So the goal is to protect students. You know, the Democrats and the people running the government schools, they do everything for the children. Always. Always for the children. And then let's see the story here that I pulled down from Breitbart. Breitbart obviously pulled this story right off the news wire and not realizing that they're actually perpetuating. So even right-wing news sources that publish these stories without any editorial restrictions or control. Like, you're supposed to edit out the insane parts, right? So that you don't propagate the leftist drivel. But Breitbart dutifully republishes whatever wire service. They say, this issue is personal for Kai, a transgender man who recently graduated from high school. He was treated for suicide attempts. She confided in a teacher who, let's see here, it's a transgender man, which means it's a woman. So this is why I'm upset with Breitbart, because they use the term a transgender man. So don't do that, Breitbart, unless you're a bunch of perverts too, which I think you must be. How do you not notice that they're lying about the sex of the subject of the sentence? How do you not notice that and correct that? It's because they're okay with it to some degree, which is par for the course. Anyway, the issue is personal to Kai, who's a woman who recently graduated from high school pretending to be a man. She had confided in a teacher who had displayed her dedication and empathy toward all students. Kai said at a news conference last month, if Kai even exists, even if any of this is even real. And so my question, if Kai exists, will Kai's suicide make the AP wire the same way this story did, the same way Kai's announcement of her mental delusion and sad state? Will her suicide make the AP wire as well? So I'll try to send a note to this reporter, Sophie Austin, in Sacramento, if it makes the news at all. I'll try to make a note. That's if Kai is even real. If that's obviously a fake made-up name, it's probably a fake made-up everything. Because when you're participating in criminal activity, like they are in the government school apparatus at the state level and at the legislation and executive state level there, in Sacramento or the capital of whatever state you live in. Just insert your capital for Sacramento, and you'll have an idea of the similar criminal behavior that's going on. Well, when that type of criminal behavior is occurring on a regular basis, you tend to, the participants and the perpetrators of the criminal behavior tend to lie more and more and more and more until they get so wrapped up in their lies that they don't even know what the truth is. And they don't even know if a boy is a boy or if a girl is a girl or if we should even talk about that. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. It's good to have you back with us. And so we go from that was reason number 2169 to get or keep your children out of government schools because of all the child molesters who want to molest the kids and then keep quiet about it. We go from there to reason number 2172 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. Out in the state of Louisiana, the state has become the first to require that the Ten Commandments be displayed in every public school classroom. Why? Well, now the knowledge and awareness of the Ten Commandments hasn't been posted on the walls in the state of Louisiana because it used to go without saying. Because everybody knew, everybody else was aware of the Ten Commandments. But now that's not the case. Nobody's aware of them anymore, so they're going to put them on the wall as if that could help. The governor out there, brave Republican Governor Jeff, he didn't actually sign the bill. He allowed the legislature to pass the bill, and then he just didn't do anything, which meant that it took effect. He didn't sign the bill or veto it. He just let the time run out, and the bill became law. That's right. That's right. It went into effect without the governor's signature, brave governor, leaving himself a little wiggle room just in case he wants to run with the pagans next time. See, well, let's see now. The American Civil Liberties Union is upset about this because they just hate the Ten Commandments. And by the way, they fundraise based on, oh, no, they're going to publish the Ten Commandments. They send out fundraising letter to all the froth-at-the-mouth leftists. And they gin up cash based on the, and then now they're joining the Americans United for Separation of Church and State and the Freedom from Religion Foundation, the three little horns, so to speak, and they're filing a lawsuit. That's right, insisting I think the lawsuit is going to insist that the Ten Commandments be posted right between the portrait of Charles Darwin and the pride flag. So if you're going to put those commandments up there, here's how you're going to do it. All right. The Civil Liberties Union and the rest, they say the law violates the separation. Blah, 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 blah. They're sending out their fundraising letters. Both sides. And so I read this story and I think to myself, what it appears that is happening here is that lawyers who've graduated from law firms into Congress, they now pick so-called hot-button issues over which they draft new laws. And then the back and forth, the legislative process, that's covered regularly in the press, perhaps alongside fundraising campaigns by non-governmental organizations, 501c3s, on both sides of the issue. And then the law passes, right? So after both sides have raised tons of money arguing back and forth through the legislature, the law passes, and then the obligatory lawsuits are then promoted in the press, like with this story, perhaps alongside fundraising campaigns on both sides. And all this keeps donations flowing to the 501c3s and to the political campaigns on both sides of the so-called hot button issue, like posting the Ten Commandments in the public schools. And so this whole thing is just an exercise that keeps all the younger lawyers in business on both sides while conveniently destroying their moral compasses, preparing them to graduate later into Congress, like the lawyers before them. And in the meantime, the velocity of the moral freefall of American society increases. So that's the side effect, the immediate side effect. So perhaps these non-governmental organizations, perhaps they're not actually non-governmental at all. They're not NGOs. They're not non-governmental organizations. They're EGOs, extra-governmental organizations, egos. So anyway, it's just something I've noticed because I'm just getting older and more cynical, I think, is I just don't believe anyone on either side anymore. The guys who want to post the Ten Commandments, I don't trust them. I'm sorry. Meanwhile, reason number 2171, to get or keep your children out of government schools over in Oklahoma. Oklahoma is now requiring the school to teach the Bible, including the Ten Commandments. That's right, from fifth grade through 12th grade, teaching the Bible, including the Ten Commandments, will be mandated by the state of Oklahoma in the government schools. The Bible, they say, is a historically significant book. The Ten Commandments in the Bible will be referenced as an appropriate study of history, civilization, ethics, comparative religion, or the like, as well as for their substantial influence on our nation's founders and the principles of our Constitution, ensuring students grasp the core values and historical context of our country, all of which was thought to be self-evident, but now the government... See, the thing is, when our country was founded, all the kids read the Bible at home. And so it was natural when they got together for school that the main textbook was the Bible. And all kinds of things were self-evident because everyone was aware of the Bible. But now, you've got Satanists are going to inject the Bible into a satanic government school system that God hates. God hates the public schools. Oh, and listen to this. How do you think God's going to feel about this? The State Department of Education may supply teaching materials for the Bible. Well, what about the Bible? Isn't that a teaching material? Do you really need other materials? So are you actually teaching the Bible? I thought the Bible was a standalone teaching material, but apparently the State Department of Education there in Oklahoma, they think differently about it. In a video posted in the not-too-distant past, an educational bureaucrat there in Oklahoma said the Bible is connected to many of the nation's historical events. Martin Luther King Jr. used it as a tremendous impetus for the civil rights movement, didn't you know? So it's okay for us to talk about it, right? Because Martin Luther King Jr., he was a Christian minister. He used to carry one of these around. So that makes it okay, right? Ay, ay, ay. So the so-called Christians who are going to save the school system there in Oklahoma, so they have to cite the use of a prop Bible by a philandering fake minister, duped by the communists to destabilize the country. That's Martin Luther King Jr. That's what he was. Ay, ay, ay. The godless are being told they will teach the Bible to children. Right? So the godless are going to be mad about that.
You're not going to teach my kid the Bible. Oh, yes, we are.
And then the gullible evangelicals who feed their kids into the government schools as well, they think they're winning. It's just unbelievably sad. Just get out of the public schools. Flee. Don't try to save the public schools. Get out. Get your kids. It's like trying to save Instagram, right? It's like trying to reform TikTok. No, don't try. Just leave that stuff alone. Keep away from it. Mark it out as bad, and stay away from it. Avoid it. That's what you should do. Okay, so now let's go to the Federalist Report. This is interesting. Three ways, the headline says, Three ways feminism laid the groundwork for transgenderism. That's right. Who would have thought that a woman could slash Winston Churchill's face with a whip, the feminist, mad feminist back in the early 20th century, actually whipped Winston Churchill in the face as a bloody mess, arguing for the right to vote. Anyway, and who would have thought within 100 years we've got trannies and psychologically deranged perverts allowed to march through the streets publicly? Who'd have thought? One of the earliest efforts, reports the Federalist, of the feminist movement was to help women with the suffering associated with fertility and childbirth. Yes, yes. But rather than help women as women, the feminist vision was to help women become more like men, offering them pills and ways that they could render their bodies sterile and enable sex without any consequences. Turns out that was a mistake. And that's being graceful. It was actually a satanic conspiracy that succeeded against a bunch of self-indulgent, wicked people. That's what actually happened. But we'll offer grace and say they just made a mistake. The poor hapless feminists didn't realize that they were a vehicle for a satanic conspiracy. And then listen to this. In the 1910s, let's see, they changed the language, implementing the sexless language of human person instead of men and women. In the 1910s, Marie Jenny Howe said feminism was a quest for women to become not just our little female selves, but our whole big human selves. In the 1940s, Elizabeth Hawes, females as well as males are human beings. That sounds harmless, doesn't it? By the 1960s, Betty Friedan was saying, people, it is only a sick and immature society that chooses to make women housewives, not people. And in 1986, Marie Scheer, feminism is the radical notion that women are people. It sounds so good. Women should be full people. They're persons. They're human beings. Little did they realize they were erasing womanhood. And the author at the Federalist says, curiously, by the 1980s, no one was denying the humanity of women, particularly in cultures animated by Christian ideals. It was more of a straw man argument adopted to eradicate the difference between males and females. Subtly, subtle changes in language over decades and a century now. Finally, there was the legal and civil rights change. Feminists developed a political playbook for women's voting rights that, once refined in the 1960s, became masterfully exploited by gay activists in the 1990s, and now the natural devolution into trans, and I don't know what's next. Oh, I do know what's next. Is the open advocacy for the molestation of children. It'll be just openly advocated for, and in some states it'll be legal, and Republicans will go along and say, well, states' rights. I don't know. Anyway. And so listen to this now. We talk about that, and we've talked about the price being paid by the elderly in America now for the sins of their youth. Listen to this. This was published 24th of June, Bio News. Dr. In-Sul Hyun, a bioethicist from Harvard Medical School, has published an open access paper in the journal Cell, arguing that our understanding of human personhood is not overly threatened or destabilized by advances in the stem cell-based embryo model and organoid research. So, we have a civilization that is afraid now to point out the difference between male and female and terrified to defend the idea that only married people should be allowed to have sex legally. Terrified to even bring that up. And that society now is going to be entrusted with the ability to manipulate human embryos and to create organoids, which it's hard to know exactly where the line is, except for the fact that an embryo at any stage must be considered a boy or a girl. That's all. We have to draw the line there. If we draw the line anywhere else, it's 1,000 years of darkness and blood, death, and horror for your children and grandchildren. So you can't create human embryos. Well, let's listen to what the researchers say themselves. Professor Jacob Hanna of the Weizmann Institute in Israel said publicly in an interview without any shame that his research involving stem cell-based embryos models, here's what he said, quote, "If a fetus is controversial and I want to reach, say, day 70, well, I'll just make no heart or frontal brain. And then it's not a fetus. It's a clump of organs. Could that be a person? No, it could never live on its own." He says, with no shame. And then he says, never forget the potential benefits to experimenting on human fetuses. He says, don't only look at the potential pitfalls. So this is shocking. Is this not shocking that a doctor? So it used to be that the first concern of the doctor was do no harm. That it was self-evident, we thought. Well, it turns out it's not self-evident. The inherent right to every human being to have a life, to be allowed to live, that's not self-evident. So medicine no longer considers do no harm first. These doctors consider the potential benefits first to farming and harvesting human beings. So this should be headline news that this could be happening. This is like Joseph Mengele level demented science fiction. And it's happening in Israel. It's happening in research laboratories in the free Christian West. This is what we've become. Demented mad scientists. And it's reported, this was from a website called progress.org, and this is reported as if they're discussing any other politics of the day. You know, should we ban plastic bags, or should we maybe consider eliminating the loophole for the thick plastic bags? Because, oh, and by the way, should we farm and harvest human organs from human beings? It's just shocking that this can be discussed at this level. It's like maniacal criminal behavior that at one point would have engendered global condemnation and prison sentences is now discussed as if it's just the politics of the day. And I think it's just because everyone's lost their mind. Listen to this. From the Decline and Fall file, authorities have accused a social worker of impersonating... I'll just read it, okay? Because everything's insane. Authorities have accused a social worker of helping her wife impersonate her in online therapy sessions. So, Peggy was licensed to provide therapy, whatever that means. Okay. Meanwhile, Tammy was not licensed or trained, and Tammy impersonated Peggy and treated clients under her account and was paid to do so. The ruse was uncovered after the fake lesbian therapist died, and people realized that they weren't being treated by a real therapist, and that they felt really dumb that they didn't realize it was a real therapist, and they kept paying, and then they were embarrassed, and so they now they want something done. And so if you have to contract with someone and pay them money to talk to you about your problems, you're just pathetic. That's all. So can't you find an actual friend? How about go to church? Well, actually, I guess I don't want to give that advice to anyone. That could be far more dangerous than hiring a fake lesbian therapist. Anyway, what is a therapist? What is a licensed therapist? How do you get a license to be a therapist? Is it like a CDL? It's like commercial driver's license? You have to take a test to make sure you don't crash somebody's life? And I don't know. Anyway, it's all crazy. And that's it for this week. Maybe forever. I may never do the show again. I don't know if I can take it anymore. I know I say that every week now. I don't mean to tease, but it is very difficult now to witness all this week in and week out. But that's the Weekly Worldview. Thanks for tuning in. I want to thank my friends at Real Science Radio, and thank you for tuning in. Should the Lord tarry, we'll return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.